The closing market report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for March 18, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, President Barack Obama is calling on Congress to spend $2 billion over 10 years on energy research, including biofuels from feedstocks other than corn. We'll have that in other stories. And also this half hour, the folks from Chesapeake Energy will be by with the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Here are your last trades and settlements for this Monday afternoon in Kansas City. Last trades here, May wheat, 742 down 9.5, July 747 down 8.75. Settlements over in the wheat pit in Chicago, however, May wheat there, 712.75 down 10.25, July 713 down 8.25. Last trades in the corn pit, May corn 719.25 up 2.25, July 704.5 up 4.25, and December at 561.5 down 0.25. Last trades in the soybeans, May beans 1410.5 down 15.5, July 1395 down 15.75. Now there's settlements. So this is a November settlement in beans, 1258.5 down 2.5. Settlements in the soybean meal pit, May 413.30 down 5.50. Also settlement for the oil, May soybean oil 49.68 down 23. April live cattle, last trade here, 126.10 up 32.5. March feeder cattle at 136.67.5 is unchanged. And April lean hog, 79.25, is down 42.5. And those are your last trades and settlements this afternoon, Monday, in Kansas City and Chicago.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says southern portions of U.S. hard red winter wheat country will see very little rainfall over the next 10 days. However, there will be potential for rain at the end of March or early April when warm air finally moves back into the middle of the nation. The U.S. Central Plains will see periodic rain and snow events over the next 2 weeks, maintaining favorable soil moisture for the start of spring crop development. The northern U.S. plains will continue to see precipitation often enough, while temperatures are cool to keep accumulating snowfall across parts of the region. Waves of precipitation in the U.S. Midwest over the next week to 10 days will maintain moisture abundance in topsoil. Areas of the northern and east Midwest will be the wettest. In Argentina, look for it to be drier than usual this week. Southern and western areas will get rain next week and raise soil moisture.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening. listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt. Well, good afternoon, Kurt.
Man, good afternoon.
Yeah. It was morning, now it's afternoon. Let's get that straight first. I was thinking, you know, looking at the settlements and then reflecting on the morning, we really pretty much ended up where we were talking, you and I, after the opening. Although during the session, there was some movement, but we ended up pretty much where we were when we discussed it this morning.
Yeah, corn a little bit better, but no, you're correct. We sort of held in there where we needed to hold, just below the market here. There's some longer term support. We'll see if that holds. Time counts, cycle counts suggest that we're due for a move back up. Seasonally, we oftentimes see a little strength going in that first week of April. So, you know, technically, things are in alignment here to sort of catch and hold. You just need to convince the buyers to come forward tonight here and tomorrow to get a turnaround Tuesday going. Not a whole lot of new news, just a little bearish tint to the marketplace, but we did ship out almost 24 million bushels of wheat, 15.3 million bushels of corn, and almost 9 million bushels of beans. Even though the bean number was below expectations, it does meet the average here, or is above the average to meet the USDA goal on the bean exports.
I thought that December corn in particular showed some strength, and it even finished pretty much to the top of its trading range today. And the significance of where it is at 562 is that had been a pretty strong level of resistance going back all the way into October through November, October 11 through April of 12-ish kind of a time frame.
Yeah, on the December corn here at 560, there's several things to watch. If you draw a downtrend line from the December high connected to your late January, early February high, it comes right across here in this level. So, you know, if we can muster through that, that'd be a kind of technically positive as viewing as breaking the downtrend. Then secondly, it's kind of a head and shoulders bottom formation. We kind of bottomed a couple of times there in February. We had the spike low as we came into March here. The right shoulder isn't quite defined yet. But there's a few ideas that maybe we're carving out a little bit of a low here to get something going. If the weather stays wet in the southern region or upper Midwest in here, we can maybe see the December contract gain on the spreads here for a short period of time.
Do you like the idea that maybe there's enough strength in that December, if everything falls into place, you could look at 581, 587?
You can start doing your retracements. Your first retracement will be back to the February high of this 595 area. Then, if we can really get something going a little longer term, the retracement level back up to that 645 area, could be in the cards there. The key is survive this little up here for a while and see if we can't get higher here for the producer to get some hedges and some higher marketings in place here that we haven't seen here for the last 2 months.
Keeping an eye on weather patterns, especially where corn is supposed to be going into the ground now in the far south, and it has been a tough go in many locales. At what point do producers down there begin to say, I don't know if I'm going to get a corn crop in, I might switch to beans or something else?
I think it's towards the middle of next week. I'd say here, if we don't see some better forecasts or some progress here by the end of the month, I would think we're probably going to lose up towards this 250,000, 300,000 acres in that south region. So we'll just have to monitor it. You know, as time goes on, I don't think there's a whole lot of actual switching right at the moment. You really can't do anything anyway. So I believe at this point in time, we've got about, towards the end of next week.
So if that were to happen, let's just follow through on the logic. What might we see then come for new crop ending stocks for soybeans?
Well, on the bean side of the equation, if we see the actual switch occur, is it going to, from the south, is it going to be into the beans, or is it going to be back to cotton, peanuts, or some other commodities? We'll see. But actually, if we see it to the bean side of the equation, we're going to naturally see this new crop bean acreage move higher. Now, that will not be reflected on the report here at the end of the month due to the fact that survey was taken earlier. But we could probably see anywhere from 250,000 to 300,000 acres added to the supply-demand balance sheet in a hurry.
So then to follow through the argument, if the growing season is an average growing season, one could probably begin to build the case for ending stocks for new crop soybeans above 300 million bushels, yes?
As long as the forecast stays, favorable, for say, we got a lot of growing season in front of us, but initially here, at least through the first 30 to 60 days of a very wet pattern, the idea would be beans still have a chance to come in at trend line yields and the added acreage. Yes, you would inch the carry up higher.
What would and just to take it back down on futures, and I know I'm looking long range today, but I just decided that's what I wanted to do. if you did have 300 million bushels ending stocks, what's it worth on the board?
Oh, you're basically going to be depends on demand. The function of the market is to go lower to seek out demand, but you're probably going to be looking at futures prices around $11.25.
All right. What else have you been looking at today?
Well, outside markets. That was the main concern last night and this morning. It seems we've sort of calmed that fear. Mm-hmm. There's ideas where the world's going to help put a Band-Aid on things if need be. We saw the Dow come off sharply lower trade overnight. The bonds have kind of stabilized here. The dollar's still quite a bit higher, but ideas are the dollar can shrink. They're going up to that 85 benchmark, Dave.
There was some sense that we were putting in a short-term top in the dollar before Cyprus.
Well, we did have a reversal down. Technically, we're overbought. We were due for a correction back to this 82 area. The Cyprus issue probably escalated the selling interest here overnight through today. Longer term here, the trend is higher. We'll look for the dollar to remain strong and look for the trade to be a buyer of the dollar index on pullbacks down into this 82.50 to 82 area.
Before we let you go, some words on livestock, please.
Well, cattle continues to be heavy weight burden on the meat complex here. Overall, export news continues to struggle. Per capita consumption continues to be very weak here in the U.S. We've been real dependent on the export sector, and that's been a question here. So until we pick up this export news, it's going to be awful hard for the cattle complex to get going. But when it does get it up and go, we feel there's a good $10 to $12 up in the fat market. Hog-wise, we just seen the futures remain a premium to the cash market. Need to see the cash market hold here and get this cookout featuring going here and see the seasonal demand pick up in the meats. And we feel the hogs will be a buy here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Thank you, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama is urging Congress to authorize spending $2 billion over the next decade to expand research into electric cars and biofuels to wean automobiles off gasoline. Obama says the United States must shift its cars and trucks entirely off oil to avoid perpetual fluctuations in gas prices. The initiative would fund research on breakthrough technologies such as batteries for electric cars and biofuels made from switchgrass or other materials. Researchers would also look to improve use of natural gas as a fuel for cars and trucks. COSERAL, in its first harvest forecast of the year, says the European Union's 2013-14 soft wheat production is expected to rise 2.6% on the year to 127.8 million tons. The Farm Eat Lobby Group projects corn output in the 28-member bloc will rise to 64.4 million tons from 56.3 million tons last year. Last week, influential analyst group Strategic Grains forecast EU-28 soft wheat production at 131.6 million tons, down from 132.2 million tons last month, and corn output of 66 million tons, up from 65.5 million tons last month. Traders in Singapore, Seoul, Geneva, and Rotterdam say that demand for U.S. and South American corn is expected to increase after high levels of aflatoxin were found in European grain. The European Union permits aflatoxin levels of no more than 20 parts per million in feed grain corn. Some Central European consignments were found to have between 50 and 100 parts per million. And a 45,000-ton cargo imported into Germany from Siberia earlier this month was also found to have high aflatoxin levels. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The price of a certificate related to ethanol has skyrocketed, but as Todd Gleason reports, it does not have much to do, if anything, with the price or availability of corn.
Well, the price of the 2013 corn crop has been declining since December as the rains have fallen across parts of the Midwest. It means traders are less fearful of another poor corn crop. Keep that in mind for the rest of this story. It's about the price of RINs. These are pieces of paper good for 1 gallon of ethanol. That's oversimplified, but it works. These pieces of paper that represent a gallon of ethanol have gone up in price dramatically, from, say, 2 cents to 80 cents, for instance. Well, why? Well, University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good and Scott Irwin have been warning of an impending price explosion for RIN since last fall, but not because of the short U.S. corn crop or even the fear of a second short corn crop this season. It's because of the way the policies in Washington, D.C. were written. The underlying reason for the increased value of RINs lies in the impending collision of the blend wall for E10 and the rising renewable ethanol mandate under the RFS. Let me explain that sentence. When Congress wrote the renewable fuels legislation, it set a goal, a mandate, of using 15 billion gallons of renewable fuels in the U.S. gasoline supply by 2015. It also capped the amount of renewable fuels made from corn that could be used in that 15 billion gallon mandate at 10%. As it happens, 10% of the gasoline supply is or soon will be less than the annual mandate. So something has to be used to fill the gap. RINs can do that job. Again, a RIN is just a piece of paper that represents a gallon of ethanol produced in the last 2 years to meet the mandate. It's already been used, but didn't have to be at the time to meet the mandate. It can be turned back in to fill the blend wall gap. Here's how the ag economist from Illinois see it. The speed and magnitude of the recent increase in the price of RINs, they say, is indeed startling. The run-up in prices may include some unusual speculative buying, but the value of the RIN credits is fundamentally supported by the ethanol blend wall. Two possible developments could alter that fundamental support and result in declining RIN values. First, a more rapid expansion of ethanol blending through E15 or E85 would expand the blend wall and reduce the demand for RIN credits to meet the renewable ethanol biofuels mandate. Second, a reduction in the RFS mandate for renewable fuels would also reduce the demand for RIN credits. So, without a resolution to the ethanol blend wall issue sometime soon, a portion of the renewable ethanol mandate beginning in 2014 may have to be satisfied with advanced biofuels or advanced biofuels RIN credits, most likely biomass-based biodiesel. If that is the case, the price of RINs could be supported up to the price of biodiesel RINs. Those RINs are currently trading at about a 10-cent premium to ethanol RINs. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Michael Yeoman of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I'm looking at my futures chart in the May, and I'm seeing we settled $7.20. Was that a good enough price for some people to say, yeah, let me do some business?
Yeah, here in Champaign, we're paying 30 over, and that gets a 750 cash price, and that certainly has some farmers selling interest with a little bit of rally we had this afternoon.
So 750 is a price level that seems to get their attention. Is there any beans left in the area at all, do you think?
I still think there's some beans on the farm. We've flirted with that $15 line several times with the processors, and I really think once we get back there, we'll see some more selling action on beans, but I do believe there are still some out there.
So $7.50 and $15, and how close are the Andersons in the Champaign operation from saying we need to sweep out the barn?
Well, we still have some corn to move here. It'll be mostly moving by rail. It looks like most commercials will probably want to move before we go through the May-July inverse, or it's about a 16¾ cent inverse today.
Mm-hmm. Is any of the, I mean, I hear these anecdotal stories, Michael, about that the commercials have done a pretty decent job of managing their whatever aflatoxin corn they might have, that really there isn't all that much left to be blended left with new crop at this point. But it's all anecdotal. Can you help me more than that?
Yeah, it hasn't seemed to be as big of an issue as we were talking about last fall. Obviously, when we're in the midst of harvest, we didn't really know what the aflatoxin levels were going to be like. But there's truckloads here and there that are going to be rejected or have to make it to a user that can take an aflatoxin and blend it. But it hasn't been a huge issue of hearing guys having rail rejected because of aflatoxin levels being too high.
So you mentioned you're 30 over on corn right now. Are you going to have to even move that even further along as we get deeper into the spring?
I think spreads and futures will do the work there. We're pretty comfortable here at 30 over today. I know last week sounded like some of the eastern Indiana ethanol plants backed off 5 to 10 cents on rumors that Canadian corn might be working its way down. But I don't think here, nearby we're going to see basis take off. Maybe once we get into planting season in summer.
Why don't we go ahead and get your quotes then for the day, please.
Today on old crop corn, we're at 750. New crop corn, we're at 545. March delivery beans, we're at 1430. New beans, we're at 1233. And cash wheat, we're at 693.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Michael Yeoman of the Andersons, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. Oats was one of the earliest cereals cultivated by humankind. They were known in ancient China as long ago as 7,000 BC, and in Europe around 3,000 years ago. By the way, oatmeal cookies are the number one non-cereal use for oatmeal, followed by meatloaf and cakes and pies. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, the first U.S. railroad tunnel was completed between Hollidaysburg and Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Driven through slate, the Staple Bend Tunnel was 901 feet long, 25 feet wide, and 21 feet high, and lined throughout with masonry 18 inches thick. In 1853, Rudolf Diesel was born. He invented the internal combustion engine. Diesel threw himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer in 1913 after losing control of his invention and receiving criticism in German engineering journals. In 1863, women rioted in Salisbury, North Carolina, to protest the lack of flour and salt in the Confederacy. And in 1920, Wesley Buscelli was born, an agricultural engineer. His 25 patents includes the farm forage handling machine that has produced the familiar large round hay bales in U.S. fields since the 1960s. He also developed rollover protective devices for tractors. And while a professor at Iowa State University, he originated the first course in the U.S. on agricultural safety. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is Josh Dar of Chesapeake Energy. He is in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Josh.
Mr. Dickey, how are you today?
I am doing well, although I must say I look forward to the end of this particular work day. Anytime I am filling for Todd on the first day back, it feels like a longer day.
Oh yeah.
I got out a 4-inch soil morning temperature chart for the U.S. from Sunday, and I was looking at it and trying to figure out, well, where could planting happen? Where couldn't it plant? Planting could not happen. Based on soil, there is a lot of places where the temperature is still way too cold.
Yes, and what a difference from a year ago when we were itching to get ahead of the insurance date to get into the fields in a major way. The pattern which is in place is very stable. This pattern has largely been in place during the back half of February through now, and it's reaching its peak intensity this week into early next week. And then we have a very big block or ridge of high pressure over Greenland. That's just pouring Arctic air out of Canada into the lower 48, and temperatures later this week are going to be unseasonably cold. Luckily, the clouds scour out, and we get some clear days ahead, but we're looking at highs in central Illinois in the 30s, lows in the near 20, even Wednesday night looks to be the coldest night with temperatures in the teens. These temperatures are 15 to 20 degrees colder than normal for this time of year, and 20 to 35 degrees colder than a year ago this time. So this colder pattern, which is in place, no signs of showing it wanes anywhere between here and the end of the month. And so while the colder pattern, I guess, is okay for now, the replenishment of soil moisture has been good until now. One would like this pattern to break in early April to get a really good start to the planting season. And that's a tough thing to say right now. When these patterns become locked in like they have, they tend to last a while. So at least through the first couple days of April, everything we're looking at right now shows status quo. With the colder pattern and no sign of soil temperatures getting an opportunity to rise up to levels that would be promoting active field work.
And when I talk to some of my broker friends, they tell me that we really need to have these guys be planting corn maybe in the next week to 10 days. Otherwise, they're going to have to make some decisions.
Interesting. Yeah, well, certainly there's been favorable conditions in the central and southern delta, but northern delta north is the pattern just hasn't been there yet for field work. And actually, the wet zone the next 10 days to 2 weeks is south of Illinois. It's going to be in the central plains, down through the Boot Heel of Missouri, over into the Ohio River Valley. So areas that could conceivably get into the fields because of being further south and temperatures are actually going to be unseasonably wet as well the next 10 days to 2 weeks. So overall, it's just not a pattern conducive for getting into the fields through the month's end and first couple days of April.
Thank you, Josh. Josh Dar of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.